Welcome to Today on Broadway for... Who am I kidding? For better or for worse, you know what day it is. I'm Broadway World's Matt Timonini. As we said yesterday, James is finally seeing the Broadway production of Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, so I'm here on my own to do Today on Broadway before burrowing down into my bunker filled with canned goods and ramen noodles for either a day, a week, or 4 years. Anyway, one last time, on to the news. As we mentioned yesterday, the first play that the late August Wilson wrote for his groundbreaking American Century cycle was also the last one to make it to Broadway. Well, as of last night, that has finally been remedied, as the Manhattan Theatre Club's production of Wilson's Jitney officially opened on Broadway to fantastic reviews. Directed by Ruben Santiago Hudson, who, in addition to being the original Sir on the Nathan Fillion and Stanna Katic police procedural Castle, is also one of the world's foremost interpreters of the great playwright's works. Set in the 1970s, this richly textured piece follows a group of men trying to eke out a living by driving unlicensed cabs, or jitneys. When the city threatens to board up the business and the boss's son returns from prison, tempers flare, potent secrets are revealed, and the fragile threads binding these people together may come undone at last. Time Out New York's David Cody writes of the show, director Ruben Santiago Hudson steers a powerhouse cast through the dense alleyways and along the majestic avenues of Wilson's language. We live in a time of clever dramatists, working wonders with intertextuality and frames, but so few have an ear like Wilson had, a voracious organ absorbing the rhythms and poetry of his working class characters. Jeremy Gerard of Deadline said of the fact that the show is just now having its first Broadway bow, "That's been rectified with a superb production under the direction of Ruben Santiago Hudson, a strong Wilson hand that has opened at the Manhattan Theatre Club Samuel J. Friedman Theatre. Set and written in the 1970s, Jitney was the first play in the cycle. It's the work of a young playwright, not yet fully in command of his prodigious gifts, yet already confident in voice and in the creation of characters who are as specific to their place and time as they are universal in their flaws, hopes, and dreams." Linda Weiner of Newsday wrote, "This is a meticulously cast, lovingly observed play about life in a livery cab station in the Hill District of Pittsburgh, Wilson's home base. We are in the 70s, but Wilson never burdened his decades with easy pop sociological markers." She continues, "Many of the actors are veterans of Wilson's storytelling style, experts in the unspooling ways he defines character and plot through grand handfuls of luscious and gritty street poetry. The problems at the car service revolve around the everyday joys and heartaches of fathers and sons, wives and husbands, men and their whiskey, and the yearnings of their souls." As we mentioned yesterday, James and presumably Peter and Michael will be seeing the show soon. James sees it on Saturday, so I imagine they will all be talking about Jitney on this Sunday's This Week on Broadway, so make sure to check that out in this very feed in a few days. Okay, on to some more news. We've been hearing about the potential for this new show for a while, but in the most recent edition of the New York Post, Michael Riedel has the scoop on the new Cher bio musical. Apparently earlier this week, Cher herself was in attendance for the show's very first reading, and according to Riedel's sources, many in the room felt that the reading was to get the cultural icon's approval for the production to move forward. Directed by Avenue Q and Pitch Perfect's Jason Moore, the cast just read the script and sang the songs, all of which came from Cher's expansive catalog. "Maybe you'll never find your purpose." As we've discussed before, the book by Jersey Boys and Peter and the Starcatcher scribe Rick Ellis has three different actresses playing Cher at different stages in her life. Now that's not new news, but what is new is the three actresses playing the three different Chairs. Jillian Mueller of How the Grinch Stole Christmas and Bye Bye Birdie on Broadway and Dirty Dancing on the Road, but no relation to waitress and beautiful star Jesse or Abby Mueller, played the younger teenage Cher, while Tony winner Lena Hall played the Sonny and Cher Cher, and Olivier winner Queen Leslie Margarita played the post-divorce pop and movie star Cher. Riedel Spies said that all three were fantastic, but that Lena Hall was the standout, singing great songs like I've Got You, Babe, and Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. The showstopper is reportedly If I Could Turn Back Time, which is sung by all three versions of Cher. Jared Spector, most recently of Beautiful, apparently was also great playing the late Congressman Bono. Like the rest of us, producers Jeffrey Seller and Flati Suarez are anxiously awaiting Cher's approval on the project to move forward. Once she gives the thumbs up, which according to Riedel Spies should be a no-brainer, we will let you know.
and we'll accept the things we cannot avoid for now.
For now.
For now.
Now, consider that pretty exciting share and casting news to be your spoonful of sugar, and this your medicine, or perhaps more appropriately, Ipecac. Because yesterday, The Hill reported that in an effort to save the country $10.5 trillion in the next decade, the incoming Trump administration is planning on making significant cuts in spending, including some that will dramatically impact the country's arts communities. According to The Hill, in the plan, quote, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting would be privatized, while the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities would be eliminated entirely. Also on the chopping block or facing significant cutbacks are the Departments of Commerce, Energy, Transportation, Justice, and State. The plan is incredibly similar to one proposed by the Conservative Heritage Foundation last year, a think tank that has been instrumental in the Trump transition. A former Heritage Foundation staff member and aide to Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, Brian Darling, told The Hill, quote, the Trump administration needs to reform and cut spending dramatically. And targeting waste, yes, you heard me, he said, targeting waste, like the National Endowment for the Arts and National Endowment for the Humanities, would be a good first step in showing that the Trump administration is serious about radically reforming the federal budget. He said waste.
Only for now.
This obviously did not sit well with many in the arts community, with Congresswoman Louise M. Slaughter, who is the co-chair of the Congressional Arts Caucus, telling the Washington Post, quote, every dollar the NEA spends, we get back 9 or 10 to the Treasury. The average cost to Americans for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which oversees both PBS and NPR, is $1.35 per person per year, and 95% of the CPB's appropriation goes directly to content development, community services, and other local station and system needs. In fact, 70% goes directly to local member stations. Now, admittedly, the inner workings of the NEA, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the National Endowment for the Humanities, as well as their individual appropriation processes, are well beyond my level of expertise. But, as someone who works in the arts, someone who loves the arts, and someone who in many ways has been saved by the arts, this is bullshit. I don't know exactly what you and I can do to prevent this from happening, if anything, to be quite frank. But in the coming days, months, and heaven help us, years, we simply must fight for things like this and issues that are important to a wide range of people that will be grossly underrepresented in the next 4 years. Whether that's healthcare, women's reproductive rights, racial, sexual, religious equality, whatever it is, we've got to speak out. Anyway, in the wake of the news, the NEA posted a video on their Facebook page called The NEA Serving Our Nation Through the Arts, and it looks at all of the wonderful things that the organization does and has testimonies from all types of artists, from Larry Wilmore to Robert Redford, and they talk about how great the arts community has been to them as individuals. We will have a link to these stories and the video in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, so check it out, share it, and make sure your voice is heard. Okay, on to some news that hopefully won't make you vomit. Even though the cast did not dance at the Cher workshop earlier this week, the show's choreographer, Christopher Catelli, was in attendance, and on Wednesday, we also learned that he is still at work on bringing the stage adaptation of the 1934 Irving Berlin movie musical Top Hat to Broadway. A separate, unrelated 2011 West End production won 2 Oliviers, including the one for Best Musical, but stalled in transitioning across the sea. Catelli had nothing to do with that production, but he is now at work with book writer Chad Begelin after having had a developmental lab all the way back in early 2014. They've been fairly hush-hush about the production since then, but Catelli recently told Playbill that their new version of the show, which he will direct as well as choreograph, will retain the film's incredible dancing, but will, quote, bring it forward in a more contemporary way in terms of how the show feels and looks. Begelin has written an entirely new draft of the script and interpolated other Berlin songs into the show. Catelli says that while they are still working on the musical, it is still a few seasons off as he is currently working on choreography for this summer's stage adaptation of Disney's Frozen, which will have its world premiere in Denver, and this season's War Paint, which just so happens to be the next show that we're going to talk about. Yesterday, producers David Stone and Mark Platt announced the complete casting for the Broadway premiere of the aforementioned new musical, War Paint. Joining stars Patti LuPone, Christine Ebersole, John Dossett, and Douglas Sills will be nearly all of the original company from the musical's world premiere at Chicago's Goodman Theater last year. We will have a link to the entire company in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com if you want to check out the names of all those fantastic ensemblists. The new musical from Scott Frankel, Michael Corey, and Doug Wright will begin previews at Broadway's Nederlander Theater on March 7th. The show will be directed by Michael Greif, who knows a little bit about having a hit at the Nederlander, and choreographed by the aforementioned Gatelli.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing.
Today at the Town Hall in New York City, Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley will host the sold-out Concert for America, Stand Up, Sing Out. And yesterday they released the entire star-studded lineup for the concert, which includes, take notes, there'll be a quiz, Betty Buckley, Lilla Crawford, Brian D'Arcy James, Judy Gold, Richard Kind, Judy Kuhn, Anika Larsson, Liz Larsson, Casey Levy, Jesse Mueller, Julia Murney, Bebe Neuwirth, Kelly O'Hara, Piper Perabo, Rosie Perez, Billy Porter, Randy Rainbow, Caroline Ray, Alice Ripley, Cheetah Rivera, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Ben Vereen, Lilias White, Betsy Wolf, and believe it or not, still more. Tomorrow will be the first of a monthly series of concerts, all of which will be live streamed at www.concert4america2017.org. Proceeds benefit several national organizations working to protect human rights. Let's be honest, it's not like you're going to have anything else to do or watch today at around 3 p.m., so you might as well tune into the concert. I know I will. Finally, yesterday, the Today Show, that failing morning show on that fake news network NBC, delivered a backstage look at Taron Killam's first day as King George III in Broadway's Hamilton. A slightly over-eager Al Roker did the whole backstage tour, tried on King George's cape, and sat in on Taron's put-in rehearsal and first performance. It's a lot of fun to see how excited Taron is about this opportunity coming from Saturday Night Live. Check out the video in the show notes and try to ride that enthusiasm and excitement for as long as you possibly can today, because if you're anything like me, chances are you're gonna need it. Okay, that's all I've got. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMATT, and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. James Marino, Peter Felicia, and Michael Portantier, I believe, will all be together on Sunday for This Week on Broadway, and assuming we haven't been thrown into a third world war or taken over by the Kremlin, James and I will talk to you on Monday. Good luck.